This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Fourth-generation California native Jim Powell is the author of It Was Fever That Made the World, a book highly praised by the late poet Tom Gunn. He is also the translator of the poetry of Sappho and Catullan Revenants. In 1986, Powell was awarded a Coordinating Council of Literary Magazine's Younger Poets Prize, and in the 1990s, a MacArthur Fellowship. He was the Sherry Memorial Poet at the University of Chicago in 2005. It has been 20 years since Powell has published a new collection of poems, but he's here today to read from Substrate, a book recently released from Pantheon Books in New York, in which Powell examines the indigenous habitat of Northern California, treating history as a kind of sediment. Substrate actually consists of three collections: Habitat, Timon of Phleas in the Muse's Birdcage, and Substrate. The title poem summons 25 witnesses from oral and documentary history, ethnology, archaeology, ethnobotany, and linguistics to focus through the lens of poetry a composite cultural history of California. I am happy to introduce now Jim Powell, who will read a selection of poems from each of the three collections of his new book, Substrate.
Rate of combustion. The air thins and clears above 8,000 feet, and distances draw nearer. A silver pine snag falls in the forest and over decades disintegrates as layer under layer the rings of yearly growth break down in fragments. The fat years and the lean fissure and crumble slowly inward toward heartwood, which also crumbles, fracturing beneath the pry and wedge of ice and insects, snow, sunlight, rain, the slow combustion of decay, till all that's left where the thick trunk lay is a long strip of wood chips making a path through the encroaching brush, a strew of cubic segments the size of finger bones, the ridges of the grain still visible on their striated faces of burnished, muted copper. Come evening, a fading bed of coals gives back that brazen, tarnished glow below a grill of gaping rainbow trout, the trout we feast on, fattened on mosquitoes that swarm at dusk to feed on us. This next poem is called First Light. There's a tradition among bakers to give away a little bit from each batch, a loaf or a cookie or a muffin or whatever it is that you're baking. And anthropologists think that maybe this is a way of passing along the magic in the yeast. You put the yeast in the dough and you end up with more dough, and there's a magic going on. So it's important to pass that magic along. First light, graying chest hair emerging from his apron top in tufts, dusted with a snow of flour above the swelling rondure of his oven belly, sleeves rolled, arms folded, at ease on the porch steps outside the back door of the bakery, in the lively air of the early hour, taking a break while the bread cools on racks inside, and a breeze picks up off the bay. The mist lifts, and the swarming dust of starlight reappears, the constellations that were given names beside the hive-domed ovens of Chaldea and of Ur. Near first light, thick arms cradling rolls and crusty loaves, a gift for late-returning revelers, for the derelict who washes in the creek under the bridge, his daily bread at daybreak. Scarcity economics. The smaller, the pie. The sharper, the knives. The sharper, the knives. The smaller, the pie. And that's sort of the opposite of opposite moral principle or immoral principle of first light. Exposure. This poem has an epigraph. The lion still rules the barranca. That's from a song called the North Coast by Lillian Bowes Ross. The lion is a mountain lion, and the barrancas are the steep bluffs that face on the Pacific along the Big Sur coast. Exposure. The lion still rules the barranca. A doe and a pair of yearlings detach from the shadow of the cliffs and edge into the open, knees whispering through grass like wisps of tule fog adrift in the starlit meadow. Spectral silhouettes, a shimmer, gliding warily creekward. They keep close to covert, yet where the bright thread of the path divides the clearing, one by one cross over the exposed ground and wait on the far side, mule ears cocked, till he joins them and they vanish into darkness behind the wide rack of the antlers, not hurrying and not lingering. Pyramid scheme. Crone, old meat, once this town was your home. Now you're living on the street. The bottom line has put you there to rot. You can't pay the rent. Every 7 years, it doubles. Now, shelter is too dear for you, since who you are is what you've got. It takes 6 weeks to build a cabin, 6 months to make a house, but 30 years won't pay for either, the banker and the landlord say. So, nightly, in TV dreams, the pyramid of paper mounts in piles. It gets a purchase on your back and towers and sprawls and sags till what you've got is what you are. Your family's gone, the neighbors all rank strangers. A shopping cart of newspapers and rags. Crone, caryatid broken under your stone. The full weight of the pyramid crushes down on your shoulders, anonymous as brick.
This is Catherine Hastings. For those of you who may have just tuned in, you are listening to Berkeley poet Jim Powell reading from his latest collection of poems, Substrate.
Ghost Dance, Witch Hunt Blues. Drove all night, the six of us, free for the weekend, barely cresting Pacheco Pass at dusk, sailed down the interstate, taking turns at the wheel, south through the valley, out into the desert, lay down to rest and woke, sleeping bags inflated, the dawn wind flinging grit in our faces. Danced both days, past exhaustion, giddy, with the music and the company, the motion and the potions, the chalice and the vial. Late Sunday, driving back, a glow on the horizon brightened at our approach. A prison, another new one, fences topped with spirals of razor wire, craning on all sides, relentless illumination. A false day, abolishing shadow, nowhere to hide, no room to move. We shrank back, huddled close inside the van's narrow darkness, and hurried on. I'm going to read three poems from a sequence of poems that's called Timon of Phleas in the Muses' Birdcage. The sequence has an epigraph, which is from a second century B.C. Alexandrian Greek philosopher poet named Timon of Phleas. Paloi men boskontai en aigupto palufulo biblia koi karaki tai aperita deria ontes musaun en talero. Many are they who fatten in multicultural Egypt, pedantic cloisterlings waging total war in the muse's birdcage. 1. The Seminar. 11 crows, 11 strutting crows, studious, in a circle, stooped to the gravel shoulder outside a turn, inquisitive, around the shining meat of some torn beast, some indecipherable, crushed, small animal. Birds, arrogant, preoccupied. Fox or marten? Weasel. Possum. Dog? 11 crows. 11 strutting crows. 4. The hawk. But this was a hawk in the branches, and it threw at my true love's feet for a sign, a bird beheaded, a limp rag of blood and feathers, one wing akimbo, and today a baby mouse curled in a bare place dead on the path, and that same hoarse laughter hidden in the fir branches clacking overhead. 5. The Pond. On the back way, there are planks laid across the swampy places, jet black loam where water pools in the dents. A place on the path I double back to and catch myself returning, mirrored in a sheet of water, the world doubled back in the glassy pool. Wind animates the leaves, and the glint shaken from them winks flickering in the pond, dreaming at the secret center, past the last screen of ferns and creepers, bramble entanglements and periphrastic evasions, this place a steady witness for the rehearsal of a ghostly life in signs and tokens, clairvoyant the way dreams betray us to ourselves in a changeling masquerade, uncovering another nature, another self to read in the face there in the water till reflection troubles the mirror.
This is Catherine Hastings. You're listening to Jim Powell read from his latest collection, Substrate. He'll be closing his reading now by reading from the final section of that book, also titled Substrate. Here now is Jim Powell.
The whole sequence has an epigraph, also from an Alexandrian, Greek Alexandrian poet from the 3rd century BC, Callimachus, which is Amartouran Uden Aiedo. And there are various ways you can translate that. One would be, I'm interested in the poetry of fact. Another would be, I sing nothing without witness. Or, this is a documentary poem. Or, don't blame me, it says right here. Or, as Chaucer puts it, as the book us tells. Or, no fact without a footnote. So this is a sequence of poems that are concerned with the witnesses that survive to us from the history of California. The first poem is called A Painted Hemisphere, and it's actually set in or comes from the archaeology and art of southwestern New Mexico in the San Juan River drainage. The Mimbres Indians lived there from probably about 600 AD until around 1250 AD. And for the last 300 years of that period, they made some incredible painted pottery, world-class painted pottery. And that pottery inspired this poem, which is sort of, you can think of it as the view from Turtle Island before the European migration to the Northern Hemisphere commenced. A painted hemisphere. The Mimbrace ancients buried family skeletons prone underneath their Pueblo household floors with broad ceramic bowls inverted over skulls interred, eye sockets upward below their earthen domes. The inner face, a painted hemisphere of art for blind eternity. A hole punched through the center of the bowl chosen, fulfilling custom, letting the breath escape the broken clay, the image, the design. A lunar rabbit bends a quarter turn round this one's vacant middle. The winking crow perched halfway down his backbone beaks the nearest of four pair of ribs, their cartoon crescents, all the remains of the hare's hindquarters, his waning orb half eaten by the bird pecking clean the knuckles of his spine. This fifth moon rabbit, hare of the May, his good eye cocked off center at the bottom of a punctured bowl, and grizzled whiskers quiz the solar scavenger fastened on his shoulder blade, talons in the quick. In his still gaze, outward serenity, a bemused whisper. Sister quail, brother fish. And the second poem in Substrate is called Alluvian. Alluvian means the whole system of a water drainage, the banks and what grows on the banks and the old channels and the new channels and the whole of the drainage, including the river. Alluvion. Tide pool, abalone habitat, clam beach and mussel rock, reed bed, cane break. The terrain tended comprehends a mosaic of micro environments, inland valley oak and grassland, foothill chaparral, sugar pine on the west slope high, pinyon over the passes eastward, thinning out down desert washes into yucca and agave, mesquite grove, palm oasis, each niche a unique interface of common elements variously configured in pocket climates from surf to playa hot spring, a four-day walk, orientation to the sun, proximity to coastal fog, wind, rainfall, elevation. Beneficial plants are propagated in circumjacent drainages to ripen for harvest in succession. Each favored species commands a specialist who oversees its use, conducts its rituals, chooses a successor, a grandchild often, and transmits its store of observation and technique. Along the edges of wet meadows, rushes for mats and thatching, basket sedges and arrow cane are spot burned in 3-year cycles. Pine needles are fired yearly to return their nutrients to earth and nurse the nut crop. Rocks aligned in staggered rows oblique to the stream bed when the rare storm issues in freshets at the mouths of the arroyos slow and disperse the inundation across alluvial fans to soak, precipitating plumes of silt downstream behind them in the shadow of the current. As the flood recedes, their wedges of fresh soil are broadcast with grass seed and interplanted with medicinal herbs and salad greens. This is called Wild Mustard Remembers, and it is based on the experience and the witness of Guillermo Buckle, who was an English sailor who jumped ship in Los Angeles in the early 1820s with his brother and came north to Monterey after the great drought of 1828 and 29, and got himself baptized as he was William Buckle as an Englishman, got himself baptized as Guillermo so that he could marry Antonia Castro, and they had 9 children over the next 15 years or so, including 5 daughters. He had a land grant. He patented a land grant in the area of Davenport, north of Santa Cruz, which he called La Carbonera, which means the charcoal burners. And this is dated Lamas, which is August 1st, 1842. Wild Mustard Remembers, La Carbonera, Lamas, 1842. When no rain fell for 22 infernal months, to spare the forage before it failed, we tried stampeding droves of horses over ocean cliffs. We penned them in corrals to starve. We slaughtered cattle in numbers surpassing our capacity to flay or cure the hides and rescue a return from the disaster by trade with Yankee smugglers. And still the herds remaining grazed the native grasses down to the barren root before the feast of their parched carcasses gorged vultures and coyotes. And even so, no rain. It was afterward, once the climate's seasonal storms resumed their cycle, that the alien mustard weed took hold here, spreading farther north each year. Already my younger daughters have never seen this countryside arrayed in March otherwise than in mustard gold. It grows so rank along the valley bottoms, by May it overtops a person's head on horseback. But as the summer weather settles in, hillsides again put on their oaten coat of old. In the weeks when, well before dawn, a warming air begins to stoke the purgatorial oven of afternoon, wisest to rest out the heat within a cool retreat, shifting from shade to shade among the oak and aromatic bay, as morning shadows dwindle to a line, a breath, and pause, and change direction while time hangs aloof, suspended in the balance of the sun, or from a sheltered cleft gaze out upon the lion-colored landscape with its indecent contours, the hollows buttocks have, the dimples of a shoulder. At dusk, the deer and cougar disappear while motionless against its pelt of brittle grasses when lamps are lighting in the valley's lap and the emerging stars construct the vault of night.
This is Catherine Hastings. You just heard Berkeley poet Jim Powell reading from his latest book of poems, Substrate. This book of 3 collections of poems was published by Pantheon Books in New York in 2009. If you have any questions or comments about Jim Powell's work, please contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Up next, Laura Walker will be reading from her 2 books, Swarm Lure and Rhymer Town. But first, as usual, a little musical interlude. This is the wonderful Spanish poet Federico García Lorca on piano. He is accompanying La Argentina, singing Los Cuatro Muleres. This is from the Colección de Canciones Populares Españoles. And here we go. Thank you.
cuatro boleros, de los cuatro boleros, de los cuatro boleros, capitán mía, que van al río, que van al río.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. North Carolina native Laura Walker is the author of Rhymertown, an Atlas, published by UC Press in 2008, and Swarmler, published by Battery Press in 2004. Her work also has appeared in various journals, including 26 Five Fingers Review and many others. She teaches creative writing at University of San Francisco, UC Berkeley Extension, and San Francisco State University. Walker seems to enjoy residing on the outer edges of language. Swarmler, her first book, is comprised of three different engagements with the idea of translation: the illegible marginalia from a used copy of James Joyce's Ulysses, the results of sending a series of prose poems through online translation machines, and finally, the use of this changed and, quote, warped language to write iterations of the original poems. In the final section of the book, she incorporated Italian and English beekeeping terms to see what would happen between them. Her most recent collection, Rhymertown, an Atlas, is her take on a poetic atlas of the small town she grew up in North Carolina. The book has four interwoven strands: a series of maps, a series of stories, a group of prose poems, and a running, fragmented narrative. How do place and memory intersect for Walker? How has the passage of time affected both? Rhymertown is her answer. Here now is Laura Walker, who will be reading from both of these books.
Okay, the first thing that I'm going to read from is from my first book, Swarmler, and it's the section where I experimented with online translation machines. I would write prose poems and then send them through various languages, Icelandic or Italian, and bring them back again, retranslate them into English. And what was interesting to me was to see how the language changed, how it warped, how it strangified it for myself. And I did this obsessively, dozens, even hundreds of times, and then collected several of them to put into this book. So what I'm going to read is, first I'll read a prose poem that I wrote, and then I'll read three iterations that go through various languages, which I'll say as I read them. So here's the prose poem that I wrote. The girl growing wings becomes an enemy, and as carefully as money swirls, the colors still will bleed. One will bring you luck, three will bring the house down. The window already open, but why not break the glass, wrestle the frame from the wood and run with it through streets, reciting our names along the way. Tea with lemon, please. Her grandmother sipping alone on the third floor, embroidering her skirts in tiny baskets and willow greens, flies buzzing thick on the walls. Her favorite saying etched across her knees, there are no strangers, beware. And her back turned slightly to the window. And this is sent through Norwegian. A bird growing wings becomes a poppy, and as careful as bread swirls, the colors still bleed savage. One savage brings you happiness, three savages bring a cottage down. The circuit already open, but why not broach the glass, wrestle a frame at the tree and bolt it with the gate, reciting our appellation along course. Tea, along with citron, please. Her grandma sipping alone on the third floor, embroidering her skirt in a little basket and savage green, flies buzzing dense at her walls. Her favorite saying etched across her knee, there is absolutely no outsider. Beware. And her back turned easily to the circuit. This is through Tagalog. The girl prophet's wings becomes an enemy, and as wary as money revolves, the tinted silence will bleed. I will bring you fate. He will bring the tenement down. The window already open, but why not break the glass, wrestle the engineer toward the wood, and run with him through roads, reciting our name? Tea with lemon, please. Her grandmother sipping alone toward the third floor, embroidering her skirt in tiny baskets and green, flies who buzz thick toward the wall. Her favorite proverb etched across her knee, they are not foreign, beware. And her back turned slight toward the window. And this last one is through Icelandic. The difficulties grow a la a wooden enemy, and as though advised, the banknote colors yet wishes to lose. A single wish becomes good fortune, a wish becomes the house fuzz. While the window is outspoken, why not fracture the glazing, wrestle the frame and run through a street, reciting our name after? Tea, mine lemon. Her grandmother sipping single river to the floor, embroidering her skirt into tiny biscuits and unlicked, flies like yourselves river the wall. Her favorite etched over her speedboat. Art repulses unknown art. Beware. And her back twists slightly to the window. So if you've never tried that, I would suggest trying. It's really, really fun on the online translation machines. The second thing I'm going to read from is not in either of these books. It's a different project that I wrote in between. And it's a series of canticles that I began. And the project began with the fact that my mother is a wonderful singer, and I am not a wonderful singer. And so all my life, I've looked at music on the page without being able to voice it, looking at her music on the piano. And the question that I'm playing with that has been haunting me for a long time is, what is unsung song? Or what is song on the page? What could that be? And what is voice on the page? So the first one I'm going to read is called Canticle for Blue. Soprano. Begging herself, her mother, comedienne, with a hint of glacine tangerine in her hair, so predictable that illness. Abets through tubes, its further reaches what is gleaned over fish, yesterday's newspaper soaking and soaking. Parcels, their parasol sounds, folter glasses, softly fed biscuits, birding, fled by as a tree filled with locust. Alto. Swarms. Contralto. With grown-up concerns, graft a peach onto willow. Pelvic. Bone. Tenor. Eat more than you grow. Illness by rote. Steal the fruit. Bass. Katydid cicadas crossing forsythia, her arms and her ankles. Eerily, airily, fold. Breathed as a basket. Milk. Skirt. See her last by a pool. And the second one I'm going to read is called Canticle for Rust, and it's in three voices which are interwoven, so you won't hear me say their names. Blue collects its elegant rain barrels, what was left in the copper yard, iron statuary, bees covered in silt, a girl with white linen. Circling higher, they attest themselves. She cut her own hair with a knife, pale scissors, iron in pots, well wishes. I missed her when I could be pulled, glass stained with figs, blue bliss of carrion. Blessed be the blue virgin's hand. And the last one I'm going to read is Canticle for Navigation. Soprano. Map making and ink, at first the June bugs, Japanese beetles, traps of ink. Yellow for adjournment, she gasps a little altogether. Ash trees drop paper, curled white spines across the mountain, egg specks of, I never cared for, smeared, yourself a sailor girl. Countertenor. Cut fish, cuttlefish, roses dropped by the rain, by rain, 333, as in the time, as in checking the news again. What I can wait for, what can I wait for? Broken firmament and stilted letters, it could have been proof. Tenor. Edging, white edging, she emerges, tiled grass, sweet leaving of May. I am you, she is. Against the letter each summer. Iron in the garden. Tongues. Offering. Miasma. Base. Ground fish. Those glass bricks distorting a face. An uncle too old for loving. They formed small balls. Bottom of a body. He died while the sign wore on. And then the last thing I'm going to read from is my newest book called Rhymertown. And it's my take or a poetic atlas of the small rural place in North Carolina where I grew up. And it began when my older brother brought me a satellite photo of that farm, which I hadn't seen in 20 years. And I realized it kind of hadn't changed. But I also realized that people would look at that map very differently than I was looking at it. And I started thinking about the ways that we know place and how place resides in us and the various strata and sort of the multiplicity that's held in place and the various ways you can know it, the various kinds of atlases there are. And so I wrote the book, as Catherine said, in four sections. The first is maps, which are numbered map 7, map 8. The second is stories, which have one word titles, and they're kind of histories for me. The third section that weaves through the book is a series of prose poems, which don't have titles, but they're written in the vernacular of my hometown. And they also weave in plant names and various voices. And the last section of the book is a highly fractured and brief narrative that runs through the book across the bottom of a page of a kind of loose stitchery. And it's based a bit on a family that I knew when I was growing up. And if I'm really relaxed, you'll hear my Southern accent come through. Map 17. Call. Call. A cardinal in the yard, bent to rights over water. To learn the song of a mockingbird, brittle white. Litmus. Over time. Bring lime from water, shallow, welt streams. Told not to dive, a foot, asleep, bachelor buttons lining the field. We knew him to come running, thirst, the oven left on. We knew her to bring water, a sudden leap to silt. They built in the adjacent field. Mountain ash carried starkly through woods, left out on the porch overnight, arms torn in cinders, they were mountain people. It couldn't have stood all night, that's memory playing, fog playing. They carried him backwards to fool the devil, lowered him just as they said they were. Someone singing the other side of the church. She-devil, come a little closer and croon that one to me. Map 23. Birds lifted suddenly by their wings as if in flight might retake gravel. Purple edges, lace white thorns, what is propelled across water. Strike, as in, she held herself still with a stick, as if to say, there were hundreds of brown dresses floating among crows, and before that, numerous tiny birches waving. I have $4 and a paper spill. I have not yet called out to you. It came across a browner field, solid, like a soldier. She left her clothes folded neatly on the pier, jumped in and let the current take her. Buick parked where they always parked, purse under the seat. Muscadine vine and the smell of paraffin. She worked hard around her shrub, scrip and scrap, taught her daughters to sew. We called her gorgeous, but of course she didn't like that. Vines came crawling back, a letter on her leg. They say the army was more romantic then. Pulled into the drive, saw the empty window as he came. Her name meaning theatrical, theater, stage light, Never saw him look so mean, something waving on his arm. Snapdragon throated as if she too taught. I will chuck you under the chin. I will lay you down to sleep early, girl. It's morning. She always knew someday she'd hear that song, morning towing heralds and the birds. Keep this comb for me, little dragonweed flower. Come back and I will meet you here by the side of the road. Dirt dug in holes and the water leaning. Lined up the whiskey bottles and shot them down right after. Came home from church and shot those bottles down, one right after the other, and her in the kitchen with her elbows cold and flour. Story. Wed. Wraps her hands in tourniquet. Swam, she is breaking, she, time. By the back porch where the wasps crawl, tender wings. Last light, a missing page. When the girl met the pony and gave it apples, right from the palm of her hand, sugar in the creases, foot-swept summer, heat, rim through. Paint stuck the porch to the batting, home, summer, cough, smell of lemon, brass. Carry the signs of soldiers. Map 10. In the greening and the sound, girls in bright dresses, a wound that, taking us on the stairway. Shallow break on the northern side, roots and thistles. Who left rustling metal in a ditch? Cows among ruins, side of a starling. Chokecherry sprawled as if in mourning. She left them out on the back porch to cool, called them in the morning. Soda girl, theater flick. I camped on the side of the brook, thought back to a time I hadn't known. He carried it clear through the woods. The radio on as the train came through, I didn't know you had it in you. Why he did mention it. I can't be blessed. These are weeds, girl, and the weeds are winning. Purse tucked under the seat, clothes in a neatened pile, and let the current take her, tangle her hair and her with those two daughters. Map 4. Morning glories choke the field, fence posts smooth bottled, watching where the little road, the dip and swing of a hill, coming fast, commingling. Dream of going down a road, dogs, neighbors, a back creek listing, double daffodils once she planted, spots on the broad road, primrose tumbling, thrift, thrush. A peony box, where the field turned marshy and we turned back. Tick country. Story, creek. Anoint, allege, count backward. Dirty fingers, flags held in sky, threaten rain, appendages seep. Land held for generations who buried their three cows and rocks gathered for chimney, fireplace, crept to the corner of feet and feet, water collect in pools, red crepe in the mud. If you couldn't hold a pen, couldn't feel your feet, standing in the water, brought light upon himself, last joined from the county, decades later, and his name spelled wrong. We were there, jugs and jars, pencil stub, creek washing, a penchant for tick seed, nickels, burial, clay. He righted himself and tried again, rope slung over the branch, poison ivy held with a stick, missing E, basin, a gorge with a rusting frame, bed springs, steering wheel, a pen corroded its rust of metal. Cloth rotted through, a hand with a tire swing on. Had to start on up, cutting wood and whiskey bottles in piles, and she, in the kitchen, could hear him out there shooting. Tick seed, gorgeous in the morning, a coat of ruby red, rubbed red. I loved her more when she was young, but I tried, oh how I tried, not to show it. Her teeth bent on her lower lip. She's got a spell on you now, you watch yourself now. Legs rubbed raw as onions. There were spells, and then there were spells. 5 o'clock naps pressed to a darkened couch. Story, girl. Names by heart. Moved aside to watch them pass double lines of said and didn't, weight of denim and sleeves, collapse across the edges, new growth there where the scissors went. Pocket change. She made me wear and watched me go, rope swing. A pocket for housing mockingbirds, lines bright against fog, clock, choke, diligent, buttoning. She knew sandal and watch face, a tiny prickle for sound, the way the focus on as light let through, the smaller the crack, the opening fled. Map 47. Mailbox, siphon's edge, hinges, batten. New at 9 years. Honeysuckle scrabbling the hard luck flint of a driveway. We could see her from the road. And running, our hair came loose. There was something wrong with his eyes. The hills starting where they started. They drew each other playing in the dirt. And she carried that boy like he was her own. Breaking the crusts with our feet. Lines showing where. She gathered the husks and threw them on the compost heap, got into the Buick and tucked her purse under, headed out toward the lake. Bergamot, the fine handling of it. They wore their ribbons straight down their backs, eager-eyed. I kept a glare for Christmas, as sons might return, and then they did. Packets of baked goods, each crooning on the radio. A little butternut might do you good, a little goodies powder. Map 2. I was sitting still in the road, the northern side. Lights and vines spilled widely. I was calling you down, come down, by the wide stretch of the ditch. I, scraping metal of thrush and vine, its iron springs, sticks bobbing still by the shore. Tucked her purse under the seat and headed in to pay her respects. Lake-like gleaming. Draped the cabinets, the wood, her whiskey hair. Story, wood. Belt buckle, a July full of boots cracked and peeling. We heard ourselves manage over the radio. Slight jarring of space, the lines of fruit trees, apple and Bartlett pear, the bees, what you were dead for. Long lines, poured, sunlight through toast. A window, the 5 o'clock nap, clocks muffle in the drape, the fabric across her breast, letting white. I knew as soon as doors made solid, aching wood, rusty and crow. Shadows spinning across grass. Vines uncleared, a small white ledge, spoons line up in velvet. We were, five and singly, voice too loud for the hallways. Faded deed and a ten-spotted letter held between the cover and trees colored red and blue. Lines, mulch, sand over faces. Little ones, peeling now, brought back. Count with us, spaces and bars. Honeysuckle ran red through the basket. Soaked in tubs of salt. Is this what you mean, you said, when you mean Christmas? Dirt drive buckling in the heat. Rotted by the windows while you slept, my tongue dipped in nectar. Poor man's flower, don't be rubbing your feet off. Alabaster. I tied my tongue backwards. Baskets, their flaunted tongues, red and ruby in the heat. Squash vines making their own way. Did you pull them in yet? Yes, you know I did. Her clothes piled neatly on the pier, and then her hair, swirling. One will get you five. I needed a drink, and she gave it to me, her hand on the knob at all times, raking those leaves to pieces. I never saw her look so mean, frost ladling the branches. Map 31. She stood on the lip of a pool and tree roots hanging dry, the night, the mistletoe, waited to dive, sweeping the water. Copperheads, cotton mouths, water moccasins. In the morning, when air begins, morning glory, pencil stub, to twine her hands, knotted, corrections, blades of grass with the sun shining through, on the smallest sheaf, altitude. Map 18. Held the jar as it jutted into, and the tip pointed where. He used his thumb to guide the string. Foot and foot building, torn way over time, to cross and cross again. Known by what passed beneath, a fever doll, tapered song, engineered into dusk. Hold the watery stream, its buck and clanging. Map 3. Morning glories arrive in fields. By the early light of day, baby girl, it's day. The kindnesses of moss. Sleeves missing what pieces. Tender heart, I was tender foot. As if the sea had found us out. Come on down for supper. We stayed standing, each one cupped a drink. By the early light of day, baby girl, it's day, hands stretched and unlocking. Look east, the eastern field, wrapped in sleeves and trinkets. I carried you down, come down, the sea, permissible tones. Come on down, early girl, it's day. We stayed standing, water and cupped hands. Land drawn and drawn again, lines laid down in pencil and ink. Sketch yourself there, chalk and string in the bend of every day. Canopy, you were in the corn. A sleeve, a branch, a creek running backward. No such thing as a lamppost. You get lost, your voice kind of withers. Weather the better for looking. Lights left on in the fog. Timpani blossoms the way the squash flowers, her breath bright and loopy, water pouring down. We danced all around you, your eyes closed. What will a dollar still get you, a Coke and bottle so tight, no air? Pin a little hope on me, a little greenery. At last she suffered in spells, a land, a leaden soldier, its rusting all pulled out. Thank you.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you've been listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. You just heard Laura Walker reading from her two books of poems, Rhymertown and Swarmler. Before Laura, you heard Jim Powell reading from his new collection of poems, Substrate. Up next, the beautiful voice of Kate Wolfe singing Poet's Heart.
I wrote to you somewhere in South Australia, a poet's heart in the eye of a hurricane. I struggle with finding words to sing these days, I said, as if my thoughts are waiting in the wings for the stage to clear. And you elegance and humor fill the room, your love and your concern, your anger at the injustice of man's narrowness and fear. I thank you for being here. Poet's heart crying a fighter's tear. The children of your body spread out across this earth like messages written across time, measuring the years. And you in your elegance and humor filled the room. being here. I heard your songs reach out to California, a poet's heart locked in the Coeur d'Alene of the old men and the booze, singing out the truth in lies of forgiveness and loyalties to friends, constant as the endless railroad ties. And you, elegance and humor fill the room, your love and your concern, your anger at the injustice of man's narrowness and fear. I thank you for being here. Someone's heart. And you, in your elegance and humor, filled the room, your love and your concern, your anger at the injustice of man's narrowness and fear. I thank you for being here.
You've been listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. This is Catherine Hastings. Before signing out tonight, I want to congratulate our new Poet Laureate, Gwen O'Gara. Gwen is Sonoma County's new Poet Laureate, and she will be appearing on my show in February. So be sure to tune in on the third Wednesday of February at 7 p.m. to meet Gwen O'Gara. A reception for Gwen O'Gara will be held at the main branch of the Sonoma County Library on 3rd and E Streets on Friday, January 29th at 6:30 p.m. You can come meet her then, and you can also hear our outgoing Poet Laureate, Mike Tuggle. Many thanks to Mike Tuggle for his 2 years of service. If you have any questions or comments about tonight's show, please do get in touch with me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Thanks for listening.